Shalom. God bless you, saints. It's good to be here this evening, a lovely evening. Good to see Sister Donna. God bless you, Sister. Brother Alex and Sister Anne, God bless. Good to see you again. And everybody who's come out, it's good to be in his house. I think this evening we're dealing with a real spiritual issue. We're really dealing with demonology and that kind of stuff. So I think this evening, let's really all start in a word of prayer. Let's put ourselves under the blood. Let's just come and yield ourselves to the Lord that his will may be done upon this night. You know, I think when you're approaching sacred and spiritual things, we need just to take off our shoes because we approach holy ground. And we just want to ask the Lord's blessing. So let's all pray before we come into the word. God bless you, saints. It's really good to be out. It's good to be in his house. So we're just going to have a look at this topic this evening. Is the spirit of fear. So I just want to see if we can. Can I just put it full screen, brothers? Okay, yeah. You and put it as full screen. So God bless, saints. Like I said, it's a spiritual topic. We're speaking of the spirit or the spiritual dimension behind anxiety and depression, because these are great challenges in our age. You know, these things, anxiety, depression, it's like it's an epidemic. I really do believe it's the plagues of our age. These are part of the plagues. As you see the society, civilization, as you see the age we're living in is getting further and further away from the word, something comes and it takes its place. You can't know the Lord like some societies did and walked in the ways of the Lord and then reject him and nothing happens. You know, you can't stay empty. When a demon goes out of a person, the person remains empty. That demon comes back with seven demons and the worst, last estate of that person is worse than the first. So I do believe that is where we really are in the Western world and we'll see it. That's why there's such an epidemic. If you want to open your Bible, saints, to 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, that's our scripture we've got, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. So Paul makes it really clear to us in chapter 1 verse 7, writing to Timothy, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So straight away you see the spirit of fear, there's such a thing as the spirit of fear. And it doesn't come from God. The spirit of fear comes from the enemy. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And we'll see that with anxiety, depression, it really plays in the minds of people. You know, a person doesn't have a sound mind. When these sorts of spirits start dealing in the life of a person, people can think the most bizarre things, and people can have suicidal thoughts, and people can, you know, because Satan is a liar. When he has access, But the Lord has given us the spirit of power, Timothy says. God has given that to us, and of love, and of a sound mind. And what a blessing to stand here tonight in a sound mind. Now, don't you appreciate that? That's a great blessing. One more scripture, Acts 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This is just giving us a good summary, Stephen is, of the Lord Jesus Christ. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Hey. People that are oppressed of the devil. Jesus went around and he healed every single one of them that he met. Because you can't be in the presence of God and have a spirit of oppression upon you. It doesn't work. You know, the one spirit is more powerful than the other. So when you come in the presence of God, that spirit of oppression is going to leave. And that's what Jesus did. Let's just pray once again. Father, we thank you for this chance. We thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the opportunity to be in this place. We just want one thing, Lord, that you lift up the name of Jesus in this place, Lord. That, Lord, you show the power of your name and the power of your word and the power of your grace. And may you minister deliverance to the captives, Lord. And Father, may you minister healing where healing is required, Lord. And Father, we just take every spirit subject unto you upon this night and just say, Father, glorify your name in the midst of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's be seated, saints. God bless you. Thank you for that. I'll just put one more scripture. It speaks about it in Matthew chapter 9. We're speaking about the spiritual dimension behind depression and anxiety, which is nervousness. So there's a spiritual dimension. The scripture says in Matthew 9, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. So the man couldn't speak. Yeah. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. So it's just so clear in the Bible that was so many sicknesses, not all. You know, there's so many things that are just physical infirmities, physical maladies. But there's many, many, a great variety of sicknesses that have the spiritual dimension. And when you deal with the spiritual dimension, the physical side will take care of itself. Because like this man, he was dumb. He couldn't speak. And Jesus said, this is the devil. So somehow the devil had access, whatever that it was, and had paralyzed his vocal cords, whatever was taking place. But when that devil, when that spirit of infirmity was cast out, the man was loosed now, and the man could start to speak once again. And you saw it many times, even in our age, in the prayer lines with the prophet praying for blind people. Now they could see before, but something had come in, cataracts, a life had come in and had blinded them. And when that life was cast out, sometimes it took some time for the physical sight to return back into order once again. But it was the spiritual dimension was the one that was causing the problem. And the problem in our age, when people get away from the literal belief of Scripture, and you just want to lean on science. Science is good. Science has its place. It'll tell you the physical side of things. Medical science is a blessing. We have our resident doctor in the house there. Brother Ngoni, we have doctors in the church. It's a good thing. But you're dealing with one aspect of sickness. You're dealing only with one side. But there's two dimensions to these infirmities. There's the physical side and there's the spiritual side. And the one is so much related to the other. One is causing the other. So when you're only dealing with the physical side of things, you're not dealing with the complete issue. And that's where we find ourselves in this age. Now, this is a neurotic age. How many times you find that, Brother Ram said in the message, says, Laodicea, we're living in a neurotic age. What is it, neurotic? He says it. It's the age we're living in the message, letting off the pressure. When he speaks of the great pressure and the way people are just, you know, under so much pressure in this age, he says, it's the age we're living in, a neurotic age, where people don't know what to do or where they're going. And the doctors don't have the answer for it. The doctors are good, and they'll treat the symptoms, but they don't have the answer for it. If someone's got depression, they give you antidepressants. That's dealing with the symptoms. You're not fixing the problem. You know, and then that's the real cause. You're going to make people dependent for the rest of their life on chemicals and substances, which helps a person, and we thank the Lord for all kinds of medicines, but it's not the ultimate cure. Yeah. You know, we're dealing with, so doctors are very good at dealing with that particular aspect, but to get down and diagnose where the real issue is and how you can be really delivered from that issue, the doctors don't have the answer for it. because the psychiatrists are being doctored by the psychiatrists, so they don't have the answer. You know, so he speaks like that. Then in the seventh church age book, each age had its pressures. You know, the dark ages had the pressure of dying for your faith. But what is the pressure of our age? For example, a great burden of the last age is the pressure of riches, soft living. You would think in an age where you have a microwave and you have a dishwasher and you have a washing machine and a dryer and everything's automatic, we'd have a lot less pressure than before. But we've never had an age with more mental pressure than this age. It's incredible because knowledge is just increasing and things are just going at such a fast pace. And you know, we just sheep, we're simple people. And it's like, what's going on? You know, things are just moving so fast that it can just overwhelm people. He says the pressure of riches and soft living and nervous tension. A great burden of this age is the nervous tension of this complex age. So we can see it's a neurotic age. What does it mean to be neurotic? If someone's neurotic, this is from the medical dictionary. A neurotic personality is the type of personality that experiences intense emotional reactions, panic attacks and things like that. Yeah. Intense emotional reactions and constant worry. Now, so you're always worried, you're always scared, you never ever feel that you got your feet standing firm on a firm foundation. You're always struggling, trying to find a foothold. You get a little bit of relief for a season, and then it's like your feet are taken out from under you once again. That's not an easy life. That's not an easy life. What is the cause of this, and what is the cure? Because it's such a big problem in this age. From the Cambridge Dictionary, neurotic, behaving strangely or in an anxious or worried and nervous way. So even you behave, you react, and the way you behave, and you don't want, you want to keep to yourself and all these kind of things. Often because you have a mental illness. Now, one good thing about this age is that it really encourages people to open up about mental illness. Mental illness had a stigma before, but a mental illness is not something to be ashamed of. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I'm sick, if I have, maybe a person has high blood pressure, a person has whatever, now, you're not embarrassed to say to somebody, a saints, pray for me, look, I've got this physical infirmity. There's nothing wrong if you've got mental. If the greatest battle ever fought is in your mind. Now, we are victims of circumstance many times because of what we've been through in the past. If you meet somebody with post-traumatic stress disorder who's come from a war zone, you don't blame them for the way they're overreacting to certain things. It's because of what they've been through. It was just too much for them. It overloaded their nervous system. And now the system compensates in the other direction. It's not easy for them to get back dealing with society in a normal kind of a way. Same with anybody who's got mental problems. These things start somewhere. Yes. Now we'll see it in the prayer lines. When the prophet discerned people, many times it was a shock when they were young. Another one you'll see, he discerns a lady and says, you've got tremendous nervousness. Oh, I see what it is. Your husband just recently passed away. You know, so Satan is an opportunist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in our human infirmity and the normal run of events of us as human beings with tragedy and unexpected things we come across and emergencies and crises, Satan wants to get in there in that crisis. And he comes in with that spirit if he can, depending on your personality type. Not everybody is made like this. Some people, they have anger issues in that. But there's certain people that are very, very prone to this because of the nature which they have, that when they get deep down in that valley, this is the kind of spirit, this is the kind of anointing that's going to come and try to take advantage of the situation that they're in. And they didn't choose to be in that situation. They don't want to feel like this. They're looking for liberty. They're looking for something to set them free. You know, just as much as a person who's in sin, in trespasses and iniquities, they don't know how to deliver themselves from addictions. They don't know how to deliver themselves from, you know, the darkness inside of their life, the darkness inside of their mind. They just need grace. They just need the same Jesus who delivered people from the oppression of the devil before to pass their way and deliver them from that oppression once again. So we are focusing, unfortunately, in our age, just on one dimension. We don't focus on the other dimension, the spiritual dimension. That's how we're looking at the spiritual dimension behind depression and anxiety, because this is the dimension we need to understand. How can we overcome the enemy if you don't really know what the enemy is? If you don't know the tactics of the enemy? You know, and we need to, like we say, we need to know our enemy and we need to know our weapons. Yeah. Because the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God, Paul says, to the pulling down of strongholds. There's nothing as more powerful than the anointed word of God. Because the word is God. Satan cannot stand before the power of the word of God. He can't. Yeah, it doesn't matter which age that we're living in. So we're focusing just on one dimension. Now look what it's leading to. Mental illnesses are the leading cause of disability worldwide. Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, people being crippled and people with all the other physical disabilities, but mental illness is the leading cause worldwide of disability. Yeah, if a person's disabled, they've been in a war zone, they stepped on a landmine, they lose a leg, they need help because they can't handle normal life in a normal way. They've got to learn how to handle it. Same if somebody's going through this kind of a thing. They can't face up to life in a normal way, the way that a normal person can. You know, they're disabled in a way. They can't do certain things that normal people can do. And that's what Satan loves to do. Because Satan comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And he wants to take away your joy. He wants to take away your peace. He wants to take away your inheritance from you. Jesus never died for us to live a life that we're constantly oppressed of the devil. Jesus died so that we can be delivered from the oppression of the devil. And we just need to know the truth. Because when we know the truth shall set us free. That's what the Bible says. Look at the anxiety disorders here. The treatments. Look at it, how it's skyrocketing. That's $15.9 billion a year people are spending on anxiety disorder treatments. People are desperate. They're trying to find some way. They don't want to feel like this. They want to get back to normal life. They see other people rejoicing. They see other people with their children. They see other people out and about. And they say, but hey, I can't live that kind of a life. What is the way for me? Yeah, and they'll be going like that woman who had the issue of blood. She spent everything she had with the physicians, but couldn't find the cure. And then she met Jesus. And that was the end of the problem when she met Jesus. And Jesus now delivered her from that. Look at the antidepressants by class. Look how it's going from 400 up to 1,200 over a 20-year period. I mean, it's tripled the use of antidepressants in the world. It's an epidemic. It's a plague in this age. So many people. And you'll be surprised when you look at it. 12 to 17-year-olds, more than doubled the use of antidepressants in 5 years. When I was at school, we never knew there was such a thing as an antidepressant. I never knew anybody who had depression at school. I never did. I only really met a lot of it when you came over here. We never knew much of it back home. You know, we just always took it as spiritual problems. And this person needs prayer. And a person would realize this is a spiritual issue. I'm in spiritual warfare here. But now the medical field's taken away from the realm of spiritual warfare and have just made it a medical issue. It is a medical issue, but it's a spiritual warfare. Yeah. Because that's how it is with these things. Well, now look at countries. The first one is Iceland. So per 1,000 inhabitants, 157 being treated for depression. Yay, that's a lot of people. Look at Britain, 138. That's a huge amount of people using antidepressants. My, we just have to hope those antidepressants work, because this is where people are putting their faith, putting their trust, putting their honest, anxious hope in, because they're seeking deliverance. They want just a normal kind of life once again. But you find out that it doesn't seem to do the job. You know, just treats the symptoms and dulls a person's senses and weighs them down. And those things can become, we had our brother James, Rob Miller's another guy we knew, we used to work with in Zimbabwe, and he got on to taking diazepam because he had some mental issues. He was a very nice guy. We used to work with him. And then, you know, he just went one day because he had all these side effects. He went down to the pharmacist, said, please, can you give me that sheet that comes with him? I lost it. I want to see all the side effects. And he had all of the side effects that he had inside of his life from take. He says, I'm not going to take it. And he stopped cold turkey and he almost died. We visited him in hospital because you can't do that. Because your system gets so dependent on these things that you have to wean yourself off now. Very, very carefully with medical supervision. So you can see that they're good. I mean, for many people, I'm sure. I'm not saying it's bad, these kinds of things. But there's side effects. and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we look to the Lord to give wisdom on these things as to the best way to handle things. So we want to have a look this evening, if the Lord would help us more, at the spiritual dimension of these things. Because this is where the real answer is. We need to look to that which is unseen, the Bible says. Yeah, because the unseen realm is what causes so much in what we see. We need to look beyond the veil and see what's happening in the spiritual realm to bring about these things in the lives of people. And we are so privileged in our age to have had a prophet in this age who could break through into that realm. Yeah, as we'll see. Hebrews 4 verse 12, the word of God is quick, it's alive. And it's powerful, amen, the word. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. Piercing between the soul and the spirit. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word, Jesus, before he became flesh, the word, the Logos, he knows every thought. He knows every motive. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows why you're going through. He knows what you inherited. He knows what you got from the days of your youth. He knows your struggles and he knows why you're having those struggles. And if you could come to Jesus into his presence today, he would tell you, like he did the woman at the well, like he did anybody else who came seeking for help. He could tell you exactly what you were going through and exactly why you were going through it and show you exactly what the answer was. Now, the good thing about it is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, he's not in one body anymore, in the perfect virgin-born body of Christ. That's now ascended. He's our great high priest. But he's in his body. We are his body now. You know, so his power and his virtue and his revelation and his wisdom, that's why I say to be part of a body. We said it on Sunday, to have a good family naturally and a good family spiritually, you are a greatly blessed person in this age. I'm so glad, like the song says, that I'm part of the family of God. Because so many times the Lord has ministered to me through his body. Now, he's given me grace to help in time of need through his body, because we are his arms, we are his legs, we are his mouth, you know, we are his eyes, that we his body. And the thing with Satan wants you is get you isolated from the body. Because you can't stay for long in the body of Christ, in the midst of the believers, and these sorts of things don't start getting sorted out inside of your life. It's just a matter of time. Because God's word will solve the problem. Amen. When you bring the word into your situation, you're bringing God into your situation. And God never fails. It doesn't matter how long you've had problems. When you just allow the word to start bringing in the power of transformation, it's going to change you on my situation. No matter what it is, it's the power of the word. So Brother Branham was now, when you'd get anointed now, this is what F.F. Bosworth, a great healing evangelist, said in the 1950s about Brother Branham. F.F. Bosworth wrote the book Christ the Healer, a very powerful book on divine healing, which was one of the classic Christian books on divine healing. But he said, when the gift is operating, Brother Branham is the most sensitive person to the presence and working of the Holy Spirit and to spiritual realities of any person I've ever known. And that's an absolute fact. Anybody who knows anything to the message, that's an absolute fact. There's no one else that in our age, we have to go back to the days of the apostles to find an equivalent kind of a ministry to the ministry of Brother Branham, especially concerning healing. Yes. No one else could break. When the anointing would break into that realm of the unseen and would be able to discern exactly what somebody had been through, tell them their name, their address. They'd been at the doctor told them this, you've got this, and it's because of that. And then pray for them and the Lord would deliver them. Not just once or twice, but recorded on the messages. There's thousands of instances. And you can listen to them yourself. When they'd come in the prayer lines now, and the anointing would come upon the gift inside of this man, he really, really could discern and diagnose exactly what the case was spiritually speaking. If a boss says, under the anointing, because Barman was just a man, without the anointing, he was helpless like you and I. Under the anointing, which operates his spiritual gifts, and when he's conscious of the angel's presence, when the pillar of fire would come down, the Logos, and anoint him, and there were so many photos taken of the pillar of fire coming and all those kind of things, he seems to break through the veil of the flesh. So when the anointing would come, he wouldn't just see you as a flesh person. He'd break and say, he'd say, you're getting further and further away from me. What is it? I see you as a young girl. And there's a dog, and a dog is chasing after you. And you got a fright. And ever since then, you've had a spirit of nervousness. He'd be able to go, the Lord would take him right the way back and would show exactly the cause. Because before you can find the absolute cure, you've got to know the cause. And some of these things are right down deep in your psyche, you know, between your soul and your spirit. It's affecting you deep down inside. There's always a reason and a cause. So he seems to break through the veil of the flesh into the world of spirit. And that's the realm, heavenly places. That's a realm of demonology. That's the realm of spiritual warfare. The angels, the demons, spirits of oppression, spirits of infirmity. He'd break through into that realm and he would see what was taking place. And seems to be struck through and through with the sense of the unseen. Now, that would be a great claim. You can go and just listen to those messages. I put one on here, I think. Oh, no, okay. Here's an example. Now, this was in 1950-something, before the days of Photoshop and that. And this was a very famous photo. Brother Bram came under the anointing. The pillar of fire came down and anointed him. He broke through and he looked at this lady sitting in the front row next to the man with the glasses. And he said, lady, you are shadowed for death. It's cancer. He says, I see a dark shadow of cancer upon you. And there was a photographer. There were those old cameras. And the Holy Ghost told him, take a picture. And he resisted, said, no, it's a meeting. I can't take. And the Holy Ghost said, take. And finally, he took a picture. And there was the hood of death, the black shadow over the lady. And as soon as Brother Branham prayed and said, lady, you are healed in the name of Jesus Christ, he took another photo and that thing had gone. And the lady lived. Showing that there was in the realm, once in a while, the Lord would allow the photographic lens of the camera to see what this man was seeing, to prove and vindicate. Sure, there's a darkness associated with these diseases. There's a dark life behind these things. And it's overshadowing this person. It wants to put them physically to death. You know, so you would really see this many, many times. Now, you can go on YouTube. Just go and search for Deep Calleth to the Deep, William Branham, and go and watch it. And at the end, you'll see it on a film, bringing people up and the anointing coming upon this man. And him diagnosing. And it's very powerful to watch. Because put yourself in that person's position. Put yourself on their shoes. Put yourself there and see how he's still the sympathizing Jesus. He's not using the single virgin-born body. No, he's using the body of Christ. And his power of discernment would come down. And it's awesome when you go and listen to those things and watch them. And how the one lady comes and she's so troubled. And then he gets under the anointing and says, I see what it is. You've got heart trouble. He says, you're troubled. He says, I see what it is. He says, there's a dark shadow falling. It's a lie. Somebody lied about you. He says, in your church, they called you a witch. He says, and your pastor, and there's a big fuss going on in the church about it. Now your pastor's got heart problems. He says, lady, you're not a witch. They're lying to you. The only thing wrong with you is you're too nervous. Go in the name of Jesus Christ, you're healed. Imagine that lady had been struggling and people telling someone, maybe someone purporting to be a faith healer told her, no, you're a witch. And it causes a stir all around. Imagine what she was going through. Wondering, but hey, what's wrong with me in this? But you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. When he, the person of truth himself, came down and anointed the gift inside of this man, the problem was over. Because light shone into the darkness and it was declared the way that it really was. You're not a witch. Go in peace. And she went. And you see on the how she rejoices and cries because she's been delivered. Just like that woman with an issue of blood for 38 years. Imagine how she rejoiced when she simply touched Christ, the hem of his garment, and the healing virtue went forth from the body and set her free. It's a powerful thing, friends. When I listen to these things at the end of so many messages, when it gets onto the prayer line, it's like a sacred thing. It's sacred sands. It's like Christ is anointing a man and is personally speaking to his children. All diverse manner of things. We'll just have a look at a few of them here as we go. So you'll see this was a photo taken, I think it was in Switzerland, America. And you'll see when the anointing would come many times around his head, that pillar of fire would come and anoint him like that. And you'll see that the light would be around him. When that anointing would come, the angel of the Lord, then he could break through in that realm. When the anointing would lift off and there was a man again, he didn't even know sometimes the things that he had said. But that's what would happen in the prayer lines. Now imagine if you could go in the prayer line today. Well, I could go in one of those prayer lines today. Yeah. And have Christ, the Spirit of God, come and personally, in an intimate way, come and diagnose what you're going through and show you the way out. What a powerful thing that would be. But is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? He has his own ways of speaking and ministering to us because he wants to make known to us the truth, because he is the truth, so that we can be set free. So he has this man comes up in the prayer line before all these thousands of people, and he says, "You mighty fine, strong-looking man to be suffering with a nervous condition." Just outwardly, when he looked at this man, he thought, hey, it's surprising to see. Nervousness and these things are no respect of persons. The devil is no respect of persons. He doesn't choose. It doesn't matter about your race, your age, doesn't matter about your financial status. Yeah, when Satan gets an opportunity, he's going to use that opportunity. But you can't help that nervousness. You've had it pretty near all your life. It just bothers you. He says, you got a mental nervousness that caused you to worry. You're always thinking of things and crossing bridges before you get to them. You're lying at night saying, hey, I don't think that's going to work very well. Hey, what am I going to do if this happens and that? Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow. He said, when you get in his presence and you walk, you leave it to him. We need the peace of God that passes all understanding. We need the Prince of Peace and his reality inside of our life to dispel all of these kind of things. Because you'll see, this is something which is talking to you. This is a spirit. Just as much as the Spirit of God can speak to you, the spirit of oppression, the spirit of nervousness will speak to you as well. And will be telling you, I don't think this is going to work out very well. Yeah, and it's the greatest battle ever fought. It's in your mind. And you'll think many times it's you just thinking things, but it's not. There's a spirit that's upon you. Doesn't mean you're possessed, but you're oppressed. And Jesus went around delivering all that were oppressed of the devil. You've got a mental nervousness that caused you. And you're always thinking of things and crossing bridges before you get to them. That's a nature of yours. See, certain temperaments are more susceptible to this. Melancholy people and all those kinds of people. Yeah, because if you're sensitive to the spiritual dimension, you'll be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, but you'll also be sensitive to demon powers as well. When you get in the valley, you're going to find some of these things already going to give you a hard time. Yeah, because it's your nature. It's the way that God made you. That's right, isn't it? But God is here to make you well, my gallant brother. You believe that. Then he prays. You can listen to it. It's a very powerful on this message. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever at the end. Oh, Heavenly Father, I condemn this devil that's tormenting this fine young man. It's a torment. I condemn this devil that is tormenting this fine young man. Satan, in Jesus Christ, then come out of him and leave him. Amen. It's a torment. So let's think of this. The word devil, demon, means tormentor. That's the nature of the devil. He knows one day, demons know one day, they're going to be in the pillar of fire. They're going to be tormented. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So while they have time, if they get access into the lives of people, they want to torment people. I know what it was like before I came to the Lord. I was tormented by this. I was so nervous and so many things would come and I didn't want to stay at home many times. You would go out with your friends. You want to go and, you know, there was just that nervous. It's the worst thing that you can have. It's a hard, hard thing. Of course, if anyone with a common school education knows, a devil means tormentor. He says, if you've got a torment in your soul, if you're a sinner, and you condemn, the devil's giving you a time, see your pastor. If you've got a torment in your body, that's what I'm here for. That's what it means. He's praying for the sick that day. He had a gift of healing now. Gifts of healing in the body of Christ to set the captives free. So he says, depends on what kind of torment. If you're being tormented, you're under guilt, you're under heaviness, you're all that kind of stuff, go and speak to your pastor. You know, go and get spiritual help. So someone will lead you to the Lord and the Lord will take that burden off you. But if it's a physical torment, even a mental torment, that's when you need the gift of deliverance to set you free. You need a deliverance from that thing. That's what he's showing. So Oxford Dictionary, torment means extreme pain or anguish of body or mind. Torment in your mind. Anguish in your mind. You're troubled. That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. And it's the devil. It's absolutely the devil. Listen what he says now. Another person, another message in a prayer line before thousands of people. You can listen to it yourself. I'd advise you, go and listen. It's very, very powerful when you listen. How do you do, lady? They bring up a lady now in the prayer line. Are we strangers? Then listen, he says, between you and I, now he breaks into the realm of the spirit. He's broken beyond the veil. The anointing's upon him now. Between you and I comes a dark shadow. It's shaking and it's jumping. You see, that's how you feel when you're nervous. You can't get next to yourself. You're shaking, you see. And that spirit, he sees it's shaking and it's jumping. He says it's shaking and it's jumping. There's only one thing that can mean that. That's a demon. And that's a demon of nervousness. Hey, and you won't know why you're feeling like that. But there's a real presence, a being that has that characteristic, that has that anointing of shaking and jumping to bring fear, to bring anxiety. You don't realize somehow that's got an access inside of your life. Yeah, and then you just want to have a good night's sleep and you get into bed and then your heart is racing and you're jumping, your mind's going all over, you're being thrown all over the place. That's a very real presence of a demon. That's absolutely what it is. That's what causes that. Now you have the physical side that it can lead on to, and now they treat it with medicine, which is good. Do your best you can. But the real cause of it has a spiritual something in the lives of people. He says to you, is that right? You think sometimes you've lost your mind. Isn't that right? This is such a characteristic. You'll find it over and over again. So many of these people that come in the prayer lines with a spirit of nervousness, they think they're going to lose their mind. Because it just torments them. He says, you think sometimes you've lost your mind, but he's a liar. You're not. You're not going to lose your mind. It's just the devil lying to you, saying you're going to lose your mind. And that makes it even feel worse. He says, he's a liar. You're not. You're just as sane as anybody else. But he's trying to get you down, lady. Don't you pay no attention to that. So what should we pay attention to? We've got to pay attention to something else. And that's the word. Hallelujah. That's anointed truth. We've got to get our faith up. We've got to feed on the right things. The worst thing you can do with the spirit of nervousness is just lie on your bed and think nothing. And you end up fellowshipping with that spirit all the time. You've got to wage warfare. You've got to get in the word. You've got to get in fellowship. You've got to say, enough is enough. From today, I'm at war against this thing. You've got to. You can't just stay by yourself and think it's going to fix itself. It's not going to fix itself. To defeat a spirit needs a greater spirit. To defeat an anointing needs the real anointing of the Holy Ghost. You know, it needs faith. Faith is our victory, and faith comes by hearing God's word. You've got to feed your faith and raise your faith up. And if you struggle, you need other people to fellowship with and be with to help you now to break through this thing here. That's absolutely what we need. Another one now. That one was from the message, The Pillar of Fire, 1953. You can go and listen to the prayer line at the end. It's so sad because some of these people, when they diagnose, they start screaming with just relief. They start weeping because for the first time they understand why they're feeling the way that they are. And now when that thing leaves them, they feel normal. Mm-hmm. And you'll tell them, it's gone from you, lady. You're feeling different, aren't you? And you'll see even on the deep courts, people put up their hands, amen. Because they feel normal for the first time for a long time. This lady comes, awful nervous, aren't you, lady? That's the devil that makes it that way. It's the devil that makes you feel like that. Now, sometimes we can just get nervous exhaustion. We push ourselves too far and all that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes just naturally you can be nervous. You're just worn out. You just need a holiday. You just need a rest. You know, you need a good night's sleep. There. But we're going beyond that here. You're going when something is a recurring problem in the life of a person that has taken someone captive, that has taken their liberty, has taken their joy, that's holding them back from their inheritance in Christ. That's a spiritual issue. It's a demon of oppression that is oppressing you. He says, that's the devil that makes you that way. You think there's many things wrong, but nervousness is what the main thing is that makes you feel like everything's wrong. Now, if you can hit that one on the head, all these other things are going to take care of themselves. That's the central thing. Now, look, he's standing there. He's speaking to this lady. He's the pillar of fire. He's under the anointing. And now look what he says. It's like a black bolt comes from you. This blackness just hits it in the spiritual realm. Like a cloud or something, like a wave. This is a very real spirit that's coming, and he's feeling the effect in the spiritual realm. Like a breath moving. You can feel it. You can see, wow. He says, you get scared. Many times in the evening times when the sun is sinking low, you get real weary, don't you? Is that right? And you'll see the lady, amen, that's right. Many times you think you're going to lose your mind. See again? But you're not. You see, you are lost. Fear not. You're going to be all right. You are lost. You're going to come through it. Don't fear. Jesus is on the scene. If Jesus is on the case, you're going to come through fine. Just let the great physician deal thoroughly with your case. That's the best thing. Now, don't go to the doctor and then you see the prescription. Don't take the prescription. When Dr. Jesus is on the case, just follow the prescription. Just follow the principles of the word. You're going to need to be perseverant. You're going to need to be determined. Because if that devil's been there for some years, he's not going to just pack your suitcase and go easily. You're going to need to be perseverant. You're going to need to be determined. But the first thing you need to do is recognize your enemy. You need to recognize this is the devil that's speaking to me. This is the devil that's making me feel this way. Now, this isn't just my nerves. This is something playing on my nerves. This is something influencing me from another dimension. We've got to realize that first. That's the angel of the Lord, the message, 1953. Another one. Sister, you suffer with nervousness. Now, listen to what he says. This whole audience is plagued with nervousness. It's the age we're living in. He says, everybody's got nervousness. Stand up to your feet. You hear all the people standing up. Be healed at the same time as this woman. He says, there you are. And so many people stand up. Because if we had to ask today how many people here are troubled by nervousness, there'll be a lot of people here. It's a neurotic age. It's a complex age. It's a stressed out age. It's an age full of unbelief. Now there's darkness, gross darkness upon this age. And the moment you get low in the spirit, that thing's going to creep in. You know, you start compromising with the word, you're not going to be too far. That thing's not going to be too far from you. And things which you overcame in the days of your youth when you came to the Lord, the same things will want to come back once again. Because that's how Satan works, because he's an opportunist. Then he says, Lord Jesus, I pray that you will bind every devil. Take these demons out of these people tonight, Lord. May the power of God sweep over this building just now and rebuke every demon of nervousness in here. May they go out and be completely whole in Jesus' name. You see, he names it for what it is. He says, I rebuke every demon of nervousness in this place. It's a demon, friends. It's a real spiritual force. Satan's an opportunist. Let's skip through this one. He says, another prayer line, another lady is before him. Just about 80% of this audience has got your trouble. Yay. You're nervous. You're upset. The thing that's causing yours is the time of life. It's the menopause. So there were physical things, and Satan took an opportunity in here. He loves to do that. You know, you get too busy, worn out, busy with studies, busy with whatever. You don't feed your faith. You get low in spirit, and you find some of those things want to start coming back in again. It could be a spirit of lust. It could be a spirit of anger. It could be a spirit of nervousness, whatever it is that Satan's going to bring, but he takes opportunity when he finds opportunity. He says, you have a really weary feeling, everything going wrong. You think sometimes you've lost your mind. Can you see how many times it happens to people? That's the devil telling you that. That's a lie. You're going to get well because of your attitude towards God's gift. Amen. Right. You're going to get well because of your attitude towards God's gift, your attitude towards the body. You're approaching Christ the right way, Christ in his people, Christ in his word, Christ in his son, Christ in his universe. You're approaching him the right way. You're coming with respect. You're humbling yourself. You're going to get well. He says, because of your attitude towards God's gift, you came reverent. Now, he's continuing on. He says, around her is a dark cloud. Can you see what nervousness is? It's a dark cloud around you. It doesn't mean it's in your soul. If you're a believer, Satan has no access to your soul. You're saved. But he's pressing with a dark cloud. And that's why you feel the way that you do. It'll be a beautiful sunny day and people are rejoicing. And you just feel so down. You just feel so nervous. You don't want to do anything. And people are walking down the street and greeting one another and happy because of the sunshine. You don't even feel that the sun is shining. You know, if you watch Winnie the Pooh, it's like Eeyore when he has a cloud above him all the time. Yeah. You know? And only rains on him. It doesn't rain on anybody else. It's like you feel like that. It's a terrible feeling. And it's a spiritual something that's doing it. He says he's now in the realm of the unseen. He's looking beyond the veil of the flesh. He's seeing now the spiritual force. He sees the angels, the angelic force. He sees the demon forces when he's under the anointing. He sees spiritual warfare. He says, around there's a dark cloud. He seems to be about this square. He says, he actually describes what he's seeing. When I look at her, it's coming in, going. And then if you listen to it, he takes the microphone, he blows it. You know that sound when you blow in the microphone? That's what it was happening. I says, this spirit, he says, that's a demon. How did I know it? He says, how did I know it? You can feel it pulling from out there. So there's a lot of other people with the same anointing of oppression upon them. And this lady standing in the presence of the pillar of fire where there's deliverance coming very soon. And that spirit is crying out for help, pulling to the rest. Say, cause some unbelief. Do something. This is what he says. You can feel it pulling out there. Kindred spirits. What is it? Everyone out there screaming for help. The demons, now when the anointing started coming down and Christ was present in the midst of his people, those demons started screaming for help. He says, and then I feel the faith of you believers moving in. You could feel it. Something saying, it can be done. It can be done. It can be done. So there's two things here. Something trying to tell you, you'll never get delivered. And then something else, it can be done. You will be well. And it's the great struggle gun, great spiritual warfare. And Satan's crying, help, help, the powers of darkness. And their faith is saying, it can be done. It can be done. And that's the way I tell those things. See, through a gift of God. Now let's finish off. He prays for this young man. And then he says, you feel a lot different now, don't you? You see, that nervousness has left you, that tension. Now, many times they say nervousness, get next to yourself. Shake yourself. Pull yourself together. What's wrong with you? You're a Christian. You're a believer. That isn't to be done. It's something that causes that. He says, it's not you doing it. If it was you doing it, you could stop doing it. But it's not you who's doing it. It's something else that is causing this inside of your life. So no matter how much you don't want it, there's something else which you need to be delivered from. That's the only way this thing's going to stop. It's not resolutions and let me try this and mind over matter and maybe I change this and change that. That's not the solution. You know, we can deal with the symptom, but the real problem is there's something causing this inside of your life. And he's called it by name. It's a demon of nervousness. It's a spiritual oppression, just like the Bible would speak about it. He says, now, when you were standing here a while ago, he speaks to this man. It was like a black cloud came floating up against me. That spirit was resisting back when he was discerning this man. It's like a black cloud going. It was a spiritual force. Now it's gone from you. You are right now. Now go and the peace of God be upon you. That's what we need is the peace of God. He's the Prince of Peace. Where Jesus is in a real way, these things don't have access. Until you lose your fellowship, your faith goes down, then they try to sneak in once again. Then just get your faith up again. Just get prayed up. Just get in the Word. Just get in fellowship. Just be in your post of duty, and Christ will take care of it every single time. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them from them all. Every single time, until it's your time to go, that your time is finished, Satan will come in and Christ will deliver you. Satan will come in and Christ will deliver you. That's why there's power in the post of duty. Now, there's power just being where Christ is accessible to you and you are accessible to Christ. So he can speak to you so that you can come, like we say, the prayer meeting. Somebody else can create a presence for you. If you're struggling to pray through, others will pray through, create a presence. The Spirit of God comes down. Then you enter into that and you claim your victory in that presence as well. We need one another in this. You know, you need to get real close to the shepherd, because his rod and his staff will sort this problem out. He will lead you to green pastures once again. You will lie down. You will rest in the presence of the shepherd. That's what we're needing. Okay. Now I'm going to finish up. We read some of this the other night at our prayer meeting on Friday from the message, Believe in God, because I think it's a good way to finish off. And Brother, I'm speaking about why people don't come to the Lord. Though inside their hearts, they know they should. And why people sometimes don't get saved. And why people sometimes don't get healed. And he says, it's a spirit, a darkness oppressing you that's stopping you from rising up to accept your healing. That's the theme that he's speaking of. And this is what he says. He says, oh, if I could just break that spirit above you right now. That's all. Satan waving his black wings around there, trying his best to keep you from believing. You know, so the spirit coming and oppressing you and speaking to you and confusing you and trying to condemn you, that demon power. If there's some way that could move away, he says, that darkness that is oppressed, if I could just move that away from you, then there would be nothing between you and the glory land of God. He says, here's the glory of God. Here's your inheritance. Here's all the healing, the virtue, the deliverance you need. But there's something holding you back from rising up and taking your inheritance. It's like in the days of Shamgar. You know, every year the Philistines would come and take his crops. And he would just let us, what can I do about it? Until one day he said, hey, enough is enough. This is my inheritance. And he took up his ox goad and he got in the spirit. And those Philistines never came and took his crops again. You know, you can allow this to happen time and time again. There's got to come a time inside of your life you say, enough is enough. If I perish, I perish. But I'm not going to continue on like this. I'm going to take God at his word. I'm going to look to him. I'm going to feed on his word. I'm going to listen to his messages. I'm going to fellowship with his people. And then I'm going to be delivered from this. And it never fails, friends. It never fails when you take that. When you get into war mode for a certain season of time, it doesn't take long when you resist that devil that he flees from you. It doesn't take long. But you've just got to rise up in faith. And you need other people to help you to do that. Many, many times. He says, now here it is. You get ready. So he's speaking about the spirit of darkness that holds people back from the promises of God. He says, now here it is, you get ready. He commissioned his church to cast them devils out. Amen. He gave us the commission. Mm-hmm. He says, I give you authority, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Hallelujah. You shall tramp on what serpents and scorpions. Nothing shall by any means harm you. Yes. The authority is not in heaven, friends. It's in you and it's in me. Amen. He gave us the authority to cast these spirits off people. That doesn't mean they'll stay off people. It means you'll have a season of deliverance. Then you need to get your faith moving. You need to get your life in line with the Lord, because that thing's going to try to come back once again. But there can be an atmosphere created, and there can be prayer that's prayed, and you feel different, and you know something's taken place. That thing has left me. You know it. Now you need to pursue. Now you need to feed your faith. Now you need to put on the whole armor of God and gird up your loins to make sure when that thing comes back, you don't allow that thing to come back next time. That's what it is. He says, you ain't going to heal anybody. We can't heal anybody. But you're going to cast the devil away from them so they can accept their healing. Because here's the glory of God. Here's your soul. All you need to do is rise up in faith and God's promises will be fulfilled. But the darkness comes in the middle and oppresses you. So we preach the word, we pray, we cast the darkness out. Amen. Then you say, why am I doing this? You rise up in faith and the glory of God comes down. That's what the gospel does. He says that. Preachers stand on the platform, preach the gospel, devils scatter. Amen. We read it on Friday. The preaching of the word casts out evil spirits because the word, when it's anointed, it's God. That's why you can never go to a place when there's anything anointed of the word, anointed worship, and you don't feel different. You come feeling sick, you don't feel so sick at the end. You come feeling distressed in your mind, not even thinking, I don't even think I'm able to make it there. By the time you come to end, you're back in your right mind once again. That's a token of the power of the word. And if you can just go home and listen to that same word on the tapes and feed on that same word in the Bible and stay in fellowship with the people of God, you're going to keep that thing off you. There's no reason that thing should come back on you once again. Once it's off, it must stay off now. But that's going to need you to take out your sword and put up your shield of faith. It's going to need you to feed your faith and gird up your loins spiritually speaking and say, okay, enough is enough. This thing has taken my inheritance. It's robbed me of my joy. It's robbed me of relationships. It's robbed me of so many things in the kingdom of God. It's enough now. Enough is enough. I get to that stage many times in my life. And Satan's trying to do something. I just say, enough is enough. If I perish, I perish. Like what was Arnold von Winkelried? Make way for liberty. You know, it's enough now. And then you get on a war footing. You get up early in the morning and you pray. And you don't just pray your little half-hearted prayer. You call upon the name of the Lord. And you pour out your heart before the Lord. And you wage warfare. And there'll be an oppression and something trying to hold you back. You just keep praying and that thing goes. And then you have liberty again. Then you take your Bible and you let him speak to you. And now he's going to feed your faith. Now he's going to quicken you. And you keep doing that for a day or two. You're going to find yourself back in the glory land of God. You're going to find victory inside your life once again. You're going to find new hope rises up. You're going to wake up in the morning looking forward to the day. You're looking forward to the future. The Lord says, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Not thoughts of evil. I've got thoughts of peace for you to give you an expected end. You're not going to be worrying about the bridges to come. There's a sacredness. It's the presence of the Lord in your life that gives you an expectation for the future. But we need it, friends. We have to wage warfare against these things. When preachers stand on the platform and preach the gospel, devils scatter. The man, then what happens? Then someone comes to the altar now, says, I want to get saved. He never saved the man. The preacher never saved that man. He just cast out the devil that was stopping the man from being saved. And the man now came and he got himself saved. He accepted his salvation. That's all we need to do. But sometimes when you're on our own and we're in our own foxhole in the battle, midst of battle, and all these things are flying around as explosions and scary things and so many things taking place in our mind, we end up having no hope that I'm ever going to get out of this situation. Just keep yourself in the right place. Like I say, keep yourself in a place where Christ can minister to you. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. Stay in fellowship. Stay faithful in your post of duty. Do that just for 1 month. That was a challenge we used to give to people in Zimbabwe. Come to church for 1 month with an honest heart and see how things are after that. And anybody just comes just for 1 month consistently, be faithful. You will find, you will know the truth and that truth will set you free. But you've got to be determined. You've got to say enough is enough. I don't want this anymore. Finishing off. The same thing with divine healing. You sick people here this morning, believe that. And have been born again. You are sons and daughters of God. Christ already healed you. The only thing keeping you from being well this morning is a spirit hanging over you. That same darkness, that same dark cloud, that same shaky spirit that hangs over you, that won't let you go out yonder and believe God's promise that he's done it. It won't let you. It keeps on telling you it's not for you. You've been in this situation for too long. There's no hope for you. That's the lie of the devil. That's right. There's always hope. You might be 4 days in a tomb. It's never too late for the Lord. You might be 40 years backslidden in the wilderness. It just takes 2 minutes in the presence of the burning bush to transform your life, get you back on track, and you'll forget about those 40 years. And you'll get back to being a fruitful Christian once again inside of your life. That's what it is. He says, now, that's my commission. To do what? To deal with the spirit hanging over people that won't fully let them guard John and believe. He says, that's my commission. That's what God gave me, because he was commissioned to pray for the sick. It's what he gave to every gospel preacher. Hallelujah. In the body of Christ, we have this commission.
Amen.
To cast that spirit out.
Amen. Thank
you. It's what he gave every gospel preacher who will believe him. The power and authority to break that spirit. Final quote. I believe with all my heart that every demon power that's in here at this minute is already broken. I do. I believe that. I believe every sick person here right now feels a lot different. I believe, just showing you the power of his word. Just showing you the power of two or three gathering in his name. He's there in the midst. You feel different. You have some hope. You're just feeling, I just wish I could always feel like this. You get to, and you can feel like it. Just keep following the same process. Just let the word continue to minister to you. Just keep coming in an atmosphere. Let that atmosphere deepen inside of your life. And if you need help, other people will come. Make a covenant or prayer with somebody. The sisters did that in our church some years back. Make a covenant or prayer. Saying, saints, I really need prayer. Can you please help me? Sister, I'm going to phone you every morning, 6 o'clock. We're going to pray together. And you pray, and you're praying for one another. You know, you get in a covenant or a prayer, ask for help, seek for help. What messages should I listen to that will feed my faith and keep this darkness off of me? And people will show you the things that can give you the rocket fuel, that can give you the ammunition that you need to overcome that condition. Every sick person in here right now feels a lot different. If that's right, raise up your hand. People will raise up their hands. See there, you. What's the matter? The devil has broken away from you. Because it's simple faith. Faith is your victory. It's so simple to overcome the devil. Just believe in God's word. Just when he's persuading you, just saying, amen, Lord. Be it unto me according to your word, Lord. That's true, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, that I doubted. I'm sorry, Lord, that I allowed that. Help, I believe, Lord, help them and unbelief. That's all you got to just respond to him, and just he keeps ministering to you, keeps helping you, and he washes you with the waters of the word. You come back into a sane mind, the right mind once again, because he never gave us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of power and love and a sane mind, a sound mind. That's what he restores us back to with the power of his word. The devil has broken away from you. He has to. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing over the word. Jesus Christ died for you. Oh, friends, if that could just become more real to each and every one of us, nothing would hold us back. Because Christ died for every single affliction that we have. Christ dies for every oppression that we're going through. He died for every sin that we've done or ever shall do. There's already a divine remedy for all of these things. Now, the key to it is staying started. Remember, we looked at that once before, the young people. You come from the camp and the Lord gives you a fresh start. The key is to stay started now. Don't go back. You know, don't come out of Egypt and the Lord delivers you and takes you to the Red Sea and then you head up and go back to the garlic pots of Egypt once again. Back to the taskmasters that were oppressing you and making your life a misery before. Keep going forward now to your inheritance. Keep pressing on. Feeding on the word. The word is the most important thing, friends. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word. So as we pray at the end of the meeting here now, and we just unite ourselves together to wage warfare against every one of these spirits, we're going to cast it out in the name of Jesus. You need to stay started. And anybody here is more than willing to help anybody else that's here. Now, whatever you need, whatever help that you need, but don't allow these things to come back once again. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of prayer.
Amen.
So we just would really say it this evening. as we bow our heads and close our eyes, like the prophet always said, he said, these spirits, they can go from person to person. Because maybe somebody's faith rises and the spirit leaves them, and then you have unbelief. You're playing around in your mind, you're not respecting, and that spirit comes onto you. And then you wonder why all of a sudden you have an anxiety that you never had before. You have an oppression inside you. No, we need to take off our shoes because these things are holy ground. We need to put our own sins under the blood and just ask the Lord, Lord, you just sanctify and cleanse me. So why not we all just come to a short season of prayer before we close in a word of prayer and you speak to the Lord. You know, and you just speak from your heart to the Lord. And if Satan has been oppressing you, stand your ground and you take authority over that spirit yourself. And say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you've lied to me for too long. You are a defeated enemy. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Let's just all spend a short time in prayer, putting ourselves under the blood in Jesus' name.
Father, Lord, just grant me that liberty, Lord. Father, Lord, you came, Lord, Father, to minister us to liberty. And Lord, we just want to walk in the light as you are in the light. And you guide us and you lead us. We seek and ask and pray. Father, Lord, you give ourselves to thee at this time. We bring ourselves before thee upon this evening, Lord. We wait upon thee, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Help your people. Minister deliverance to your people. Father, Lord, Father, you said it's the anointing, Lord, that breaks the yoke. So Lord, we just pray. Let that anointing go forth, Lord, upon this day and breaks the yoke in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we spirit, Lord, of oppression, Lord. Just come, Lord, for your glory, Lord, and deliver your people, Father, each and every one, Lord, from the spirit of oppression, Lord, Jesus is our Lord. Father, as we look into you, we are waiting upon you, Lord. Thanking you for your grace. Thanking you for Calvary. Thanking you for the blood. Thank you for your finished work, Lord. Thank you for the things that you have done. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Just be glorified. We pray at this time, Lord, as you wait upon thee, Lord. We pray to be upon this day and bring ourselves before thee, Lord, and ask of thee, Father, as we go from this place, that, Father, Lord, the peace of God that passes all understanding, Lord, Father, will be the inheritance of each and every one of these people. As Lord, we lift it all to you and wait upon you now. In Jesus' name, we glorify you.
Just going to ask Brother James, you can please close for us in a word of prayer, bro, if you would. Let's just unite ourselves with our brothers in praise.
Heavenly Father, we come before your presence once again, Lord. We thank you for the preaching of the word. We pray the same Holy Ghost, Heavenly Father, would go with each and every one of us as we go home. When we leave this place, dear Heavenly Father God, we know that we are going to leave our baggage in here because we have come down through your word. The Bible tells us, let every man be a liar and God's word be true. And today, Father, we know we have come face to face with Christ himself. Lord, you have spoken to the inner man. Lord, you have spoken about the hidden things. Father, you have talked about another realm And Lord, you have opened our eyes to understand what is hidden. And Father God, once the devil is exposed, he has got no power. And Father, we know, Lord, there's a scripture which says the devil has got no claims in us. Because there is Calvary, Lord. There is the cross at Calvary. There is the blood of Jesus that sets us free. You washed us from all our sins. Lord, you brought us, Lord, from the miry clay. You set our feet on a rock. You gave us a new song and a new name. And now the devil comes like a roaring lion. But Lord, we know that there's only one lion, which is that of the tribe of Judah. When he speaks, Lord, who doesn't fear? Lord, when he roars, Lord, Heavenly Father God, who will not fear, Father? Oh, Heavenly God, we thank you tonight because the Spirit of God is amongst us. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father God, because, Lord, you have unearthed, Lord, the hidden things. Lord, dear Heavenly Father, the devil has been exposed. And, dear Heavenly Father, we know the prophet, Lord, you will call him a bluff because he, and you chase him, Lord, from the presence of the sons of God. We know that he likes to come where the children of God are worshiping. And, Lord, dear Heavenly Father, but to tonight, Lord, Lord, you have opened our eyes. Therefore, Lord, you have given us understanding. Give us faith, Lord, that we may cling to this word. Oh, dear Heavenly Father God, so that we may stay started, that we may remain, Lord, standing. Oh, God, we thank you tonight. Bless each and every soul in this place. Bless our pastor, Lord. May you continue to use him mightily. Oh, God, dear Heavenly God, I just pray, dear Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, I thank you for liberty. Amen. I thank you for the Spirit of God that sets us free from oppression. Lord, which you set us free from devils and demons. Some of these are family spirits, Lord, that have been long in the families. But Lord, dear Heavenly Father God, we know that with thee all things are possible. Lord, when we come in your presence, Lord, everything is exposed. We are naked before you, O God. Nothing can be hidden, dear Heavenly Father. Even the cunning devils, Lord, they can't hide before the presence of the Lord. And that's why we say, thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of Jehovah. We bless your name once again. We ask these things in the mighty name of the Lord. Lord, we pray for the services ahead. We pray for our prayer meeting. Lord, may we continue from where we are going to leave tonight. Lord, may the Holy Ghost just take us from one step to the other. Lord, let us gain wisdom, Lord. Let us know Jehovah. Let us know our enemy as well, that we may know the warfare, that we are in a warfare, and know, Lord, dear Heavenly Father God, the weapons to use against this accuser of the brethren. We thank you, Father. We bless your name. Thank you for those who are online, Father. Bless each and every one of us, Father. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe let's sing this chorus. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power. Let's sing a little bit faster. In the name of the, oh, hallelujah, we've got the power. Oh, yeah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, we've got the power. In the name of the Lord, though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power. Once again, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We've got the power. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though certain rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's sing hymn 169. Wonderful. It says, "All my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone. Peace is mine. Peace like a river." It's A flat. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes my sadness. Guilt is gone, peace is mine, peace like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to. Hallelujah, wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, He keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His. Hallelujah, once a slave, now I'm free, free from condemnation. Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed on the book. Oh, hallelujah, wonderful, oh, wonderful. Oh, yes, Jesus is to me Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise Him. Hallelujah, living yet, oh, with my Lord. Oh, yes, in a holy union, oh, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Oh, what change grace hath wrought in my lowly station. Since my soul has received full and free hallelujah, wonderful, oh, wonderful. Oh, yeah, Jesus says to me Counselor, oh, Prince of Peace. Oh, yeah, mighty God is there, saving me, oh, keeping me. Oh, yes, oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, praise. Let's sing the chorus. Hallelujah, wonderful, oh, yeah, wonderful. Oh, Jesus says to me Counselor, oh, Prince of Peace, oh, yes, mighty God is He. Saving me, oh, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh. Let's sing Amazing Grace.
Amen.
Let's, it's A flat.
Number two.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear, being I fear I am already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. In grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining is the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Oh, praise God. Let's praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Appreciate that, bro.
Amen.
Sister, God bless. Chachi.